Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. Visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're thrilled that you're worshiping with us today. This broadcast is going out to all the earth on WWCR Worldwide Christian Radio twice. Covers the earth 1.5 times. Very soon, thanks to an anonymous saint that wants to keep their name anonymous, we have Radio Madagascar is paid for, and we're looking forward to being able to add that, and that'll make 2.5 times that we'll go out to all the world. Perhaps there's someone else in our radio audience that would like to partner with us with Pan American Broadcasting, because we're talking to them about broadcasting to all the earth on the Pan American station. There are over 10 shortwave stations that broadcast to all the earth. While we in the United States listen mainly to AM/FM radio, the rest of the world is listening to shortwave radio. And shortwave radio is shot straight up in the air instead of in straight line like AM/FM radio is. It's shot straight up in the air. It hits the ionosphere, bounces back to the earth, bounces up and back and up and back. And so this is the reason that places like Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Syria, where all of the Muslims are all hating Christians, killing Christians, this is the reason that our broadcasts get through, is because of the type of radio that we're using. It's estimated that there are 2.5 billion shortwave radios in the world today, and at any one time, 1 billion of those shortwave radios are on, and that there are 3 people gathered around that one radio. This is really a marvelous thing. There's a guy in California who died, and he bought 1 million radios for Africa that had their own little generator that you just sit and turn the generator. You didn't need any electricity. And he fixed it so it could only go to his channel and you could tune in nothing but his channel. A few months later, year later or so, he marries a young girl and he dies within a month or two. And guess who's got his channel? We've got his channel. And so for an hour every Sunday morning, they can only hear the Main Street Congregation of the Church of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So God can do anything. Last week we studied in 2 Peter chapter 2, but as there were false prophets also among the people, even shall there also be false teachers among you who shall privily bring in damnable heresies. And we saw last week that that word privily means right along beside. By every truth of God, they have a lie that they substitute for the truth of God. And so last week, we found out that how you can tell these type of people is that they're all after your money, that every sermon has to do with money, 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 and that they all want to get you money. And that there are 3 great reasons that we know that these type of people are going to come under the judgment of God. And Peter uses the 3 reasons as the angels who sinned, God cast down and has reserved in chains of darkness until the judgment day, Noah and the flood, and Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he gave us encouragement of how he delivered just Lot from Sodom. And so now if you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Beloved is a word that's really a keynote word in this chapter. It contrasts with Peter's vehement pronouncements against the false teachers and the mockers that are going to come in this chapter. I stir up your pure minds. Peter's object was to exhort people to live holy lives. By way of remembrance, he had their remembrance of the whole corpus of Christian truth revealed not only by the apostles, but by the prophets of the Old Testament. 2 Peter 3:2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. All truth is revealed by the prophets and the apostles. You remember back in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said that God hath, past tense verb, he's already done it, hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so Peter in this book mentions the second coming of Christ, but that's by no means all of it. But that's the subject that we've been studying for a couple of months. And next Sunday, we're going to wrap it all up. So I encourage you to be here next Sunday. The doctrine of the end of the world, the features of the great apostasy that's to come, the forthcoming judgment of all mankind, the new heavens and new earth, the inspiration of both the Old and the New Testaments, just to name a few things, are the main tenets that are found both in 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Here perhaps what is meant is the last part of the world's duration. There is also a marked difference between those people, those false teachers, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and here. There, their approach was stealthy. Through deception, they came in and deceived the church and took long periods of time. It took a long time, 600 years, for a man to declare himself pope. It took a long time for one guy to take over. But here the opposition is, as it is today, bold and challenging. What do these people say? Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. As the centuries pass away, this objection reoccurs repeatedly with greater and greater intensity. The central thesis of New Testament Christianity is the second coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and the final judgment. Here Peter foretells the ultimate mockery which these unbelievers and the apostate, those who have fallen away, would spew. All things continued. The scoffers assert that the regular order of nature, death and life, has continued right on as it was since the beginning of creation. Spring, summer, fall, and winter, seed time, sowing, planting, harvest, have continued the same since the beginning, and they do not say that things continued as it was since the coming of Christ, his first advent. They say it's continued as it was since the creation, since the beginning of the creation. And here they forget the flood. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they are willingly ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Here we've got a picture for you, a couple of pictures I want to go over with you again. There are three types of rocks: ingenious rocks, metamorphic rocks, and sedimentary rocks. All fossils are found in sedimentary rocks. And you can see these pancake layers that are laid down. And these are all laid down in water, and that's called sediment. It was muddy water that dried up and became rock. And this is called sedimentary rock. And generally, this is found like this all over the earth. I'd encourage you to go Google this, radio audience. You see some places that where the sedimentary rock is all twisted like this. How could that be if it wasn't done in mud? If that wasn't mud, why isn't it all broken up? How in the world could that ever happen if it wasn't done in mud? So they had to be a great flood, and they had to be mud all over the earth when the mountains were pushed up for that to be twisted like that. Next picture, please. Throughout the earth, everywhere is found what is called, and I encourage you to go Google this and show this to your kids, this is called polystrate fossils. See this tree? This is a living, normal tree standing right here by a petrified tree, by another petrified tree, by another petrified tree that's gone through these strata. You see these strata that go like this? How in the world can a tree stand up for 100 million years and then another layer be laid down and another layer be laid down and another layer be laid down? How can that tree stand up like that for 100 million years for those stratas to be laid down? Clearly, they were laid down close together. Next picture, please. This is a drawing showing how polystrata fossils are found throughout the earth. 2 Peter 3:5 again. For this they are willingly ignorant. They have to ignore things like this for them to teach evolution and the things that they teach. They're willingly ignorant. They're willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Their ignorance is willful. Far from being intelligent and well-reasoned objections, the mockery of the scoffers in these last times is merely a loud, arrogant denial based on their unbelief of supernatural things, just because they resent the interference in their walking after their own lusts. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible teaches that the earth originally was covered with water everywhere. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So you see the word deep, meaning the oceans, and then the face of the waters, and so no land is visible at all. The earth is totally covered by water. And so dry land was one place and one continent in Genesis 1, 9, and 10. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters he called a sea. And God saw that it was good. 2 Peter 3:6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And that Greek word there means to be destroyed fully. The entire ancient world, by the means of water, was overflown in a great flood and perished. In Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man, and all whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. Now, just before the flood, you remember the man who lived longer than anyone, Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years. Environmental changes took place at the flood. There used to be water above the atmosphere. And so for some reasons that God will explain to us someday, people lived great long lives prior to the flood. The very word Methuselah means, and he lived and the flood came upon the earth. That's what his name means in Hebrew. Now after the flood, in Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, and to Eber were born two sons, and the name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Dry land was one place. The earth was an island, what scientists call Pangaea. The name Peleg means earthquake in Hebrew, and divided means split in Hebrew, and Joktan means to make small. So in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided or split, and the continents began to drift apart. And we have a picture here of how the earth was one continent at one time. And here you see Africa, South America, North America, Europe, Antarctica, and so forth. And so the earth began to drift apart, and the continents were formed as they're formed now. How did the Bible writer know these things? How did the Bible writer know that the earth was one continent? Only modern science has put these things together. Well, he was inspired of God, and this is the word of God. 2 Peter 3:7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. The heavens and the earth were of old, were formed by the word of God. But the same word, which has always been sure, declares that they're reserved for fire. These scoffers have conveniently forgotten that God did intervene in judgment at the time of the flood. God's intervention and interruption of the orderly process of nature in this cataclysmic event of the great flood proves several things. Willfully, they put these things out of their minds. It cannot be argued that God will not again interrupt the steady rhythm of the earth. He did it once, and he can certainly do it again. The excesses of wickedness of that time and those days caused the first interruption, and it's logical to believe that our excessive wickedness today will soon be ended by another interruption. It's quite easy for God to do such a thing, for it was by a mere word of God that created all things. Only a word brought the flood, and only another word will bring judgment. For the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 11:4, by the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The flood came upon the promise of God to Noah that it would be done. God kept that promise. God has now promised that the world is stored up for fire, and God will keep that promise also. Paul mentions that Jesus would come from heaven in 1 Thessalonians 1:7 in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 25, we see that the wicked would be turned aside into everlasting fire. In Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah says, lo, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. In Isaiah 66:25, behold, the Lord will come with fire, and his chariots with a whirlwind, to render anger and fury and rebuke with flames of fire. In Isaiah 34:4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, as a leaf that falleth from the vine. And Daniel connected the final judgment with the same thing. In Daniel 7:10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from him, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were open. Next week, we're going to take all of these studies that we've done for the last 2 months on the second coming of Christ and pull it all together, and you'll see that there is one general second coming of Christ, and the resurrection of the dead and the judgment takes place all at the same time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, revealed unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition or punishment of ungodly men. This destruction by fire will be when the Lord is revealed in judgment and when perdition comes upon ungodly men. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Beloved is a key word in speaking to Christians, a term of endearment. Be not ignorant. The delay was the object of the scoffers, but time is no element to the counsels of God. He that has eternity to work with, time has nothing to do with him carrying out his purpose. Time has no bearing on the promises or threats of God. In Mark 16:16, it says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. That promise is just as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was made. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that threat, he that believeth not shall be damned, is just as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. In Psalms 90, verse 4, is where Peter got this idea, for 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloadable a cappella singing, fair to middle, and gospel preaching. There's 1,000 written lessons and 1,000 sermons on there. You got all kinds of things to study, all kinds of links. We'd encourage you to come to our website and get yourself a Bible education. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If the days of the Lord seem delay, it's not due to slackness. It's rather because God is long-suffering and has given us time to call the world to repentance. It's his long-suffering. Augustine, long years ago, said God is patient because God is eternal. He is who is from everlasting to everlasting can afford to wait. He's not in a big hurry. This is another reason for God's delay, that he's not willing that any should perish. The time of the end is delayed and deferred, that the number of them that are to be saved may be filled up. And that's why we need to continue doing what we're doing, preaching the gospel to all the world. Where else on earth preaches the gospel to all the world? Some little church with 150 members, 200 members, where else is doing that? We need to keep doing what we're doing, and in fact, we need to expand what we're doing. There's about 10 shortwave broadcasters that go to all the earth. I'd like to see us get an hour on each one of them. We can get an hour on each one for about $300 a month. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To have, no matter where somebody is on earth, that every other hour they turn the radio on and there is the Main Street Church of Christ. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when people are least expecting it. In Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. This great noise is a Greek word, rousedon, and it is an ancient Greek used to describe, it's what's called an onomatopoetic word, and that's a $50 word that means that the sound of it let you know what's happening. Y'all remember John Madden that used to announce Sunday night football? Well, he liked offensive linemen. And he'd talk about offensive linemen, big offensive linemen, who could reach out and pancake block, just punch, that's called punching, that he could just reach out and punch, pancake block a guy and just knock him down flat. And John Madden would say, boom. And whenever you heard him say boom, you knew that they had been a pancake block on that play, that he was calling that out. Well, when this sound that's going to take place at the end of the world, when everybody hears it, you'll know the jig is up. You'll know it's the end of the world. You'll hear the world being tore apart. The sound of the very thing that's happening will let everybody know that, hey, we're all going to die. Right now's the time. There'll be no panic like that. Here it describes the fires and the clash and the crash of dissolving worlds with a tremendous roar of flames that dissolves the world. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. By this, what is meant is the basic building blocks of all material things, the very atoms themselves. These words were written by Peter long ago, before the atomic age, but they fit strikingly with our atomic vocabulary. Well into the period spanned by countless people now living, scientists were certain that such a thing mentioned by Peter here was impossible. Up until 1945, in schools, science professors ridiculed the Bible as they do today, saying, one cannot believe the New Testament because it teaches the earth will be burned up. One famous professor even tried to prove how stupid the Bible was by taking some soil and putting it in a Bunsen burner and showing that a Bunsen burner couldn't burn up the soil. Well, let me tell you something. Atomic fires can burn up the soil and make a hole like you had never seen before. Science has at last caught up with 2 Peter and the revelation of God. And such a fact does not convince some people of the inspiration of the Bible, such a person cannot be convinced at all. Today, all nations ought to tremble, but really, people are oblivious. Back when I was a kid, the threat of atomic war was every day. They had duck and cover in school, man. You'd have to go hide your head and all that stuff, like, and it wouldn't do you any good. You get blown up anyway, but they taught it, boy, and everybody was aware of the threat that's out there. Nobody really knows about the threat that's out there, nor do they care anymore. They almost blew it up with the Cuban Missile Crisis. All the generals wanted to invade Cuba, and we now found out that the Russians had tactical nuclear weapons in Cuba, and they had given their general in Cuba authority to launch those tactical nuclear weapons against an invasion fleet. And had the United States invaded Cuba as we were planning to do, we would have lost an army, and no president of the United States can lose an army and not respond to a nuclear weapon, and it would have been the end of the world back then. And there is so many nuclear weapons that they have so many and we have so many that if they launch all theirs at us, there'll be enough of ours that'll survive that'll kill all them too. And you know what they call that? They call it MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction. But now we have nations like North Korea and Iran and China and other nations that all they have to do is set off one atomic bomb in space above the United States and burn out every transformer in America. We'll be in the Stone Age, no electricity, no water will flow, nothing will work. Just a little old country like Iran could do that, or North Korea could do that to us. We live in dangerous times. There's never been such times as dangerous as they are today. Our earth is going to burn up. Scientists tell us whether it's from our sun expanding and sucking the earth into it, or a black hole, our sun becoming a black hole. At some point in time, there's going to be an end of this earth, and it's going to be with fire, just like Peter said. Our solar system and the great galaxies, even the space-time relationship, will be abolished. All elements which make up the physical world be dissolved by the heat and utterly melt. This is a picture painted by Peter 2,000 years ago. In astonishingly degree, it corresponds with what might happen right now today at any moment. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in your holy conversation and godliness? Since we have no abiding home on this earth, seek one beyond. We should live in a state of holiness and preparation to meet God. People who will not believe in the second coming of Christ and its accompanying judgment of all the world inevitably have the tendency to live careless, sinful lives. There's a positive and definite connection between what one believes and what one does. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, preparing for and desiring the Lord's coming. Dreadful as that day might be for impenitent sinners, it's a day of relief and glorious attainment for the saints and people of the churches of Christ. In hastening to the coming day of God, spoudanos is the Greek word, hastening on, or causing that day of God to come more quickly by helping to accomplish what must occur before it dawns. Help us get the gospel out to the whole wide world. The world needs to hear. Everybody needs to be told. The whole earth needs to be warned. The whole earth needs to be ready. The whole earth needs to know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, in fulfillment of prophecies that were written thousands of years before He was ever born, copies of which we have in the Dead Sea Scrolls. We can prove they were written before He was born. How do you account for the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 as an example, where He dies in verse 8, He's buried in verse 9, and His life is prolonged in verse 10? How do you account for that when we have a copy of it written in 200 B.C.? Only God can foretell the future. Everyone must be told. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What promise? Well, there are many promises, but just a couple of them is John 6:37. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Hey, my name's Him. Him, anybody. He that cometh to me, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Won't you come to Him? Well, all you got to do is come in the appointed way. I'm going to tell you how in just a minute. You can come today. If you put it off, you can do something about it. You can make sure of your salvation. You can bulletproof yourself today. In John 11:25, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In Isaiah 65, 17, these are no new things. Isaiah had told us, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. There are two different Greek words that are used for new. One means new versus old, and the other means fresh versus worn out. And the word used here for new heavens and a new earth, when this fire destroys the whole earth, God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and that word new means fresh versus worn out. He's making a fresh, perfect heavens and a fresh, perfect earth wherein righteousness dwells. And I'd like for you to be one of those that's included in that. In Revelation 21, verse 6, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Drop down to verse 16. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, and 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. 12,000 furlongs is 1,377 miles. This city that John saw a vision of is as big as from Dallas, Texas to San Diego, California. Then if you turn right from San Diego, California, and you went north to Alaska, it's past Anchorage, Alaska. Then if you turn back east, you'd wind up 800 miles north of Chicago, back to Dallas, Texas. And it's 1,377 miles tall. Now, what is God telling us? Is that literal? Wouldn't be any air up there. That can't be literal. What God is saying is that heaven is big enough for everybody. Everybody. If you give God's little acre to everybody who's going to be saved throughout all of history, it would take a place that's that big. Heaven is enormous. People are not really listening to what's being said there. You've heard about the streets of gold. There's no streets of gold. There's a street of gold. And what God is saying is that we're all going to live in the same hood, man. We're all going to be neighbors. We're all going to be in the same hood. We're all together in this new place where we'll live with God and see His face and know Him forever and ever. I want you to come and be a part of that. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, there's that word again, beloved church, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Follow the pleas of holiness. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And set your affections on the things above and not on the things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, or put to death, wherefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanliness and inordinate affection and evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put all these things away. Try your best to stop sinning, and whenever you goof, confess it quick. Tell God, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to do better next time, I'm not going to do that again. and do your very best to be just like Jesus, because Jesus is just like God. 2 Peter 3:15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. God's long-suffering is designed to promote salvation. Paul has written unto you. We cannot tell what epistles Peter is alluding to, but the acceptance by the Apostle Peter in this passage of Paul's letters as Scripture is most important, but it was really nothing new. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his letters, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, that means wrestle with, as they do also with the rest of their scriptures, unto their own destruction. There are many scripture twisters. They twist the scriptures. It's just unbelievable, some of the things that are taught out there by the scripture twisters, when plain, common English says exactly the opposite of what they're telling you. And you remember, they privily, they're going to bring it right along beside the truthful teaching. Some people teach the eternal security of the saints. Well, that sounds beautiful, and I believe that. I believe every saint is eternally secure. But I know beyond a doubt that a person can leave God, because I have seen many do it and have done it my own self. I know that you can turn from God, and I know that you can repent and come back to God. I know beyond a doubt that God is long-suffering and forgiving. So if you'll remain a saint, I guarantee you, you'll be eternally secure. Peter knew of many letters that Paul had written, and knew also that they contained some very profound arguments, which the Jews especially had trouble with. The unlearned and unstable, the ignorant and vacillating rest and pervert and give meanings that were never meant, as they do also the other scriptures. The acceptance by the Apostle Peter in this passage of Paul's letter of Scripture is most important. Paul himself quoted from Luke 10:17, a passage clearly meant to be received as Scripture, despite its being nowhere else found in the Bible. The apostles accepted other New Testament writings as inspired unto their own destruction. This should be a warning to all today that twist the Scriptures from their real meaning. Often a person has to go to college and get educated and get a degree to get a twiddly-dee-dee in order to twist the Scriptures and to learn how to do that. There shall be many false teachers, so beware of them. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So grow in this grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The great advice that I would have for you is the advice from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Many of you are brand new Christians. You need to desire the Bible. You need to read the Bible. You need to study the Bible. There's nothing better for you to read than the Bible. Read the Bible. Go on our website. There's all kinds of outlines. There's all kinds of commentaries. I commend to you Kaufman's commentary, Clark's commentary, B.W. Johnson's commentary are all listed under commentaries on our links. And these are all good, honest commentaries that will help you understand the Bible. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can come and put your faith and your trust and your confidence in God to save you. You can repent of your sins. Repent means sorrow. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. You can be sorry for the things that you've done wrong. That's a natural thing if you're going to come to God to be sorry for what you've done wrong. You can quit putting it off. You can make a repentance today. You can march right down to the front and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you can come and be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away and begin a brand new life. If you're here this morning and you've been putting it off, don't put it off any longer. Don't put it off any longer. We're not promised tomorrow. The Lord might come today. We don't have any idea. Come and make confession today. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.